I, who had never been a soldier, who had never fought in battle, who had never fired a gun at an enemy, had been given the task of starting an army. It would be a daunting task for a veteran general, much less a military novice. The name of this new organization was Encanto with Siswa, Spear of the Nation, or MK for short. The symbol of the spear was chosen because with this simple weapon, Africans had resisted the incursions of whites for centuries.
Nelson Mandela was born in Transkei, South Africa, on July 18, 1918, to Henry Mfakaniswa, king of the Tembu tribe, and Nongani Nosekeni Fanny, the king's third wife. After studying law at University College of Fort Hare and the University of Witwatersrand, Mandela joined the African National Congress in 1944. Working with the ANC, which sought to end this system of racial segregation through peaceful and legitimate means, he advocated for resistance against the ruling National Party's apartheid policies that were put into place in 1948. However, the members of the ANC became frustrated as they gained very little headway with the South African government. Tensions between white and black South Africans began to grow and would turn violent on March 21, 1960, when South African police fired upon a group of black protesters outside a police station in Sharpeville. This shooting, which had become known as the Sharpeville Massacre, served as the last straw that convinced the ANC that violence would be the only viable option in order for them to achieve their objectives. Nelson Mandela acknowledged this in his Ready to Die speech when he said,
"The African National Congress attempted to achieve their goals peacefully. However, after years of frustration, they turned to violence."
After he and Walter Sisulu convinced the ANC that the only way to retaliate against the apartheid was with violence, Mandela was appointed to lead the army with no previous training.
Communist forces would play a major role in supporting Mandela, MK, and the ANC during their anti-apartheid efforts. The Communist Party in South Africa had fallen on hard times and essentially disbanded. However, under the will of Walter Sisulu, the South African Communist Party formed. The South African Communist Party garnered support from the Soviets and the Chinese, and delegates from the party made trips to Moscow and Beijing, where the party's movements garnered even more support from these newfound allies. Beijing, the South African Communist Party had personal meetings with Mao Zedong and Deng Xiaoping, who offered military guidance. The Soviets even went as far as to provide military assistance to the now violent anti-apartheid movement, providing the resistance with weaponry and training the soldiers. Ideologically, it only made sense that the Communists supported the Nkuntu Sizwe's agenda, because communists viewed imperialism and colonization as the highest form of capitalism, the communist antithetical ideology.
Though the ANC did not allow white members, the MK High Command allowed all forms of participants. Mandela and the other leaders of the command considered sabotage, guerrilla warfare, terrorism, and open revolution, deciding upon sabotage because it did not involve loss of life, and thus would harm the other side the least out of the four options.
"We did not want to start a blood feud between white and black,"
claimed Mandela when he published his memoir in retrospect. For most of 1961, Mandela lived and operated underground in safe houses, discussing strategies, experimenting with explosives, and spreading underground awareness of MK's goals to increase the numbers of resistance. He started off in Johannesburg, living in the apartment of a Jewish communist, and later moved to the Lily's Leaf Farm in Rivonia in October. There, he was able to meet briefly a few times with his wife, Winnie, and children, but contact with them was very limited at best. Mandela was urged to leave South Africa and to attend the Pan-African Freedom Movement for East, Central, and Southern Africa's conference in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, to take place in February of 1962. Against his promise to operate underground, Mandela finally left South Africa. After making his speech about South African goals for MK at the conference, Mandela continued to travel throughout Africa to gain more political and economic support for the new military force, while also propagating MK's goals throughout the continent. After returning to Addis Ababa for military training, he left early to go home and was arrested on the road for leaving South Africa illegally.
Mandela appeared in court in African-style clothing, faced by a set of white judges, which he strongly opposed.
The white man makes all the laws. He drags us before his courts and accuses us, and he sits in judgment over us.
He argued. Yet despite his efforts, the judiciary remained the same. The government banned the widespread protests against his arrest, and in November 1962, he was sentenced to 3 years in jail. In July 1963, the South African police force discovered the MK base at Rivonia, and Mandela was brought back to court. The Rivonia trial, which tried Mandela and others with trying to plot against the apartheid regime with violent revolution, lasted from 1963 to 1964. In a statement from the dock of the Rivonia trial, where he spoke for an hour and a half on his defense to plead not guilty, Mandela acknowledged his inclination toward the Marxist concept of a classless society and stated that more than anything, the Africans just wanted equal rights. On June 12, 1964, Mandela and the other Africans were found not guilty and sent to Robben Island. Mandela fought for every victory possible toward human rights reforms for the prisoners until his release on February 11, 1990. In 2000, Nelson Mandela sat down with Oprah Winfrey for an interview in which he stated that he does not regret advocating the use of violence. Mandela still holds the belief that white South Africans forced the ANC to resort to violence.